Let's go to Acts 20. How about that sharing from Jesse? I just wanted to share one thing about this issue with Paul in Jerusalem. In Acts 20, verse 22, he's talking to the leaders in Ephesus here, like the fellowship coordinators and stuff, and he says, and now, this is before all this stuff that Jesse read, he says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit, and that means he's made up his mind, all right, that's what he's saying. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except I do know one thing, that the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions, what? And if, in case it wasn't clear, you know what happened when he went to Jerusalem, right? What happened? Bonds and affliction. He went to jail for a long time. The point I want to make here is that God will always show you before he shows somebody else something about you. He will always get through to you first, or try to, because you have Holy Spirit, okay? You've got it. You've got all nine manifestations. You've got everything, all spiritual blessings Jesse showed us, right? You've got everything God's got to give to somebody right now. So go to Philippians 4 to start this sharing. Philippians 4. Verse 13. A lot of us probably know this. This is our theme verse for this sharing here. And it's, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This word can is, it means to be strong in body, all right, or physical health, but it also means strong in mental power. It means to have efficiency or to prevail. It's used of physical strength and mental strength, okay? It means you can. It means you have the power, okay? And this says we can do how many things?
All.
How many?
All.
Does that leave anything out? Does that mean there's one thing that you can't do that somebody else can? No. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Do you think of yourself as strong? Do you? Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. God says you are. Maybe you don't feel like it. Like, do you think The Rock gets, like, the flu? Do you think he feels super strong when he has the flu? Do you think he could still beat me up, probably? Even if he had the flu? Right? He might not feel like it. He might not feel his best. But what has he got? Huge muscles, right? Way bigger muscles. He's got the power in him, right? Because he works out all the time and probably takes steroids, right? But it's potential power. You know, Albert touched on this last night. It's this word dunamis. And it's what you have. It's what you got when you got Holy Spirit, and it's ability. It's in you, but you have to tap into it. You have to use it, okay? And if you're like The Rock with the flu, and you think you're like a weak little guy, you're not going to go around beating me up like you ought to. Here's a couple translations of this verse. I prevail in all things by him who empowers me, all right? That can do is that strong word I said, and then strengtheneth is that potential power that Albert was talking about, the dunamis, all right? I prevail in all things through him who empowers me. I have strength for all things in him that gives me power. And God gives us power so that we're strong to do things and to prevail, to win. You understand? To prevail. To conquer, to be the victor, not to be a loser, okay? Not to be some insignificant little worm, you know, shuffling around the high school halls with my headphones on. No one pays any attention to me. No, you're powerful. You're strong. You need to believe it. You need to use it. And that's up to us, and that's the renewed mind. And I'm talking to you. I'm talking to all of you. God's word, this is written to you, is talking to you. And you might be thinking, hey, he's probably just talking about my cousin Juliet. I'm not. I don't don't know her, okay? I'm talking about you. You. This is all to you. You aren't the exception. You aren't the weak one, okay? You're a son of God. You know why we say son and not, I mean, we say daughter sometimes. But the reason God's word talks about, in that culture, the firstborn son had all the rights and privileges, right? And that's who you are, all right? You're like the most important kid. You get everything, all right? You get the power, you get the responsibility. Go to Ephesians 1. That's Spider-Man, right? Right? Yeah. It was funny, I saw something, it was like, because somebody was talking about these movies and what they teach people, like the superhero movies, right? And they specifically said, like, who actually is going to use the phrase, with great power comes great responsibility, like, ha ha ha. And I was like, actually, like, you know, a believer does have great power, you know? Ephesians 1 verse 15 says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your believing in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, when you read saints, it means believers, okay? When you read saints in God's word, it doesn't mean like the people that the Catholics pray to, okay? It doesn't, what it is like, they have like, you have to do 3 miracles, right? And a pope has to say they're a saint. And no, when you read saints in God's word, it just means the believers. It means you, it means me, okay? The sanctified ones. And he heard about their believing, their love. And Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Like to know what to do, for God to tell you stuff. God can talk to you, you know? A lot of people think prayer is just some one-way conversation. You just say stuff to God and maybe something happens. Do you ever wait for an answer? You should. You should expect one. God's not mute, right? He created the heavens and the earth. You think he can't talk to somebody? And maybe you think you're not important enough. Well, hopefully we fix that by the end of this, all right? Wisdom and revelation, verse 17. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We have so much to look forward to. But for now, on earth, right now, verse 19 says, what's the exceeding greatness? Just enormous, all right? Just enormous power to usward who do what? This is how you tap into the power. This is how you use it. You believe. And what's believe mean? You're convinced. You're fully persuaded, okay? You're just, you believe it. I mean, it's not really that complicated, all right? And Romans, wait, what is that? Faith cometh, is that 8:17? 10:17. It says, faith cometh by hearing, believing cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Word of God, all right? You want to believe bigger? Read the word more. Think about the word more, like we've been saying, right? Hide it in your heart. Renew your mind to the word, and you will believe, and you will access this power. You will utilize this power that you have right now. The exceeding greatness, verse 19, of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he did what? It's the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what you have. That's what you have right now. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to, like, level up spiritually or anything like that. You don't need to wait. All you have to do is believe. Do any of you guys play video games? Yeah. Okay. Sometimes games, I think it was... I play them, so you don't have to be embarrassed. Some of these games, you know, you start off, especially if it's like a shooting game, with like a bad gun or like just a knife sometimes, right? And then you like find better and better weapons and blah, blah, blah. And then you beat the game, and then you can play again, but with all the good weapons that you had, right? And that's what Jesus Christ did. He played on hard mode, and now you get to play on easy mode, okay? You start with all this power, okay? And so all those early levels, they're cake. They're easy. You've got the power of God. It's the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. in you today. Go to Matthew 17. Let's look at Jesus Christ. Matthew 17. Verse 14, it says, when they were come to the multitude, there came to him, Jesus Christ, a certain man kneeling down to him. This guy's begging him, okay? And saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. And that means he had, like, epilepsy, okay? You know what epilepsy is? You have seizures, right? He would have these seizures, okay? And bad ones. He's sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. He would have these seizures and he would end up almost drowning, all right, or almost burning alive. Bad. And he's begging Jesus Christ. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not what? They couldn't do anything. And Jesus answered and said, O unbelieving and crooked generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. The first thing Jesus Christ called out was unbelief. He knew immediately that that's what the problem here was. Jesus rebuked the devil. It was a devil spirit. How did he know that? Revelation. Anybody? Revelation. What manifestation did he use? Discerning of spirits. Do you have discerning of spirits? Yes. Yes. Could you do this? Yes. Could you do this right now? Yes. If you needed to. What?
Yes.
Yes. Thanks. He rebuked the devil and departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour, and that means immediately. He saved this kid's life. He saved his life. Then came to the disciples, to Jesus, apart, separately, right? Maybe a little embarrassed, and said, why couldn't we do it? They'd done it before, okay? They had the ability. Why couldn't we do it? And Jesus said unto them, because of your what? You didn't believe. That's it. You understand? That's the only thing that separates the men from the boys here spiritually. Do you believe or do you not believe? That's it. That's it. Do you believe or do you not believe? He said, it was your unbelief. I say unto you, if you have believing a grain of mustard seed, right? And we've all seen it. Some people have the necklaces with them. It looks like a poppy seed or something, right? Maybe even smaller. It's a dinky thing. But if you have that much believing, you'll say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall what? And what's going to be impossible to you?
Nothing.
What? Nothing will be impossible to you. Nothing will be impossible to you. Today. Right now. Believe this right now. You just need to believe it at this moment, and you can move the mountain. Right? You just need the mustard seed's worth. You just need to be persuaded. You just need to go, God's right, I'm wrong, I can do this. That's what Jesus Christ did. That was his secret. That impossible means to not have strength, to be weak. It's like a dunamis, like not power, okay? And nothing is supposed to be like that for us. When we believe who God's called us to be, and the spirit that he's given us. Go to Acts 14. The world needs you. Your school needs you. Your job needs you. Your parents need you. People need you to be a son of God and to act like it. And to use it, you know? Acts 14, verse 5. Check this out. And there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to what? We saw that before. It's ugly business. The believers, okay? We're getting harassed here. And they were aware of it, and they fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and of the region that lieth round about, and there they did what? They preached the gospel. They were getting harassed. People were threatening to kill them, and they didn't. Did they just bail? No, they spoke the word. They left. I mean, they left where they were. You got to listen to God. Sometimes you stay, sometimes you go. But where they went, they spoke the word. the thing that got them in trouble. And there sat a certain man, Lystra, impotent in his feet, and that's that a dunamis. He could not stand. He had no power in his feet. Being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had what?
Walked.
He never walked. He never walked his whole life. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had believing to be healed, he had what? That's it. That's all you need. You have everything else. This is the renewed mind. This is all we're talking about. All you need to do is believe. Paul perceived that he had believing to be healed, and he said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," and he leaped, and what? He walked for the first time in his life. He went from no power to leaping and walking. No power to leaping and walking. You, before you got born again, you went from no power to getting born again, and you can leap and walk spiritually. This is pretty crazy after this. Verse 11, when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." They thought that they were like magic men, right? They were gods, and they called Barnabas Jupiter, right? Zeus. And they called Paul Mercurius, like Mercury. I forget what the Greek god was for that, because he was the chief speaker. They started wanting to worship them like their gods, because they saw this miracle. Because what's anybody ever heard about miracles except that only gods can do them, right? Only angels can do them. Only the special people can do them. Those that are blessed and the most holy, right? And so they were like, these guys must be gods. And the priest of Jupiter, this guy, he is the priest of Jupiter, right? The priest of this other religion. He was before their city, he brought ox and garlands to the gate, and they were going to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. They were going to kill oxes and like throw a party like they were gods because they did this miracle. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, they were like, nice. Nice. Finally, someone recognizes our greatness. No, what do? They rent their clothes. That was like a Jewish thing, like where you are like so upset, okay? So they were just like, no, you know, like, no. They do that and they beat, you know, all this stuff. They rent their clothes and they ran in among the people and they go, "Sirs, what are you doing? We are what? We're men of like passions. We're the same as you. We are just guys, right? We drink beer. We, you know, whatever. We're guys. And we're trying to tell you to turn from these vanities unto the living God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." And you can read the rest of the record. But they were just guys. And they knew that. They weren't convinced they were gods. They just believed what God told them about them. And so they healed people. They raised people from the dead. They did amazing things. And so can we. 2 Corinthians 4. You can do it. We saw that example of Paul, right? If he could do it, after all the stuff he got into, after all the mistakes he made, why not you? What makes you worse than him? What makes you worse than anybody here? You don't know me. You don't know the things I've done. And it doesn't matter. You don't need to. Just see the Christ in me. I'll see the Christ in you. We'll help each other be who we really are, sons of God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of who?" Of God, not us. This power, it doesn't come from your body, you understand that? And it doesn't come from your mind. It comes from the Holy Spirit you have. That Holy Spirit will give strength to your body, all right? It will give wisdom to your mind. But the source is God. The source is spiritual. And so if your body isn't doing, and I know a thing or two about this, things that you want it to do, if it's not where you want it to be, if your mind isn't where you want it to be, okay, God can still work with you. That doesn't preclude God from giving you revelation. That doesn't preclude you from doing a miracle right now. Just change your mind. You know? The physical is not our limit. You know? Your brain power, your education, none of that limits you. None of that has anything to do with God. It doesn't matter how we feel. You know, that was a big one for me, especially when I was young. You know, you don't feel like it. You don't feel righteous. You don't feel powerful. You don't feel like you could do this kind of stuff. It doesn't matter how you feel. You understand that? It doesn't even a little bit matter how you feel. Like, not even the tiniest bit. Emotions are okay, all right? They're good for certain things. Sometimes you gotta cry. A lot of times we gotta laugh. God designed those things, all right? But those are not who you are, and those don't determine what you do. God's word does. And I know how it is for some of you young guys. It's weird now. Like a competition sometimes of who's the most oppressed, right? Or like, who's got it the hardest, you know? I self-diagnosed myself with, or like the, you know, like, actually I'm a, like an asexual parrot brain amphibian, right? And my pronouns are Polly and Wanna Cracker, so. Or, you know what I mean? And it's like a race to the bottom. Like, not to be, not I'm strong, not, it's like I have ADHD because a TikTok video told me, right? And so I should get this special treatment, right? Look, I'm marginalized. I'm so marginalized because of my ethnicity. I'm so marginalized because the color of my skin, or I'm neuroatypical. Yeah, me too, dude. I'm insane. Okay? I'm not stable like the way, you know what I mean? Like, I got Holy Spirit. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. But get out of the race to the bottom, man. Don't participate in that stuff. Call, you're a son of God. People should be like, you're different, and not like, what is your mental illness? I want it, you know? It should be like, you've got it together. You, things change when you're around, you know? And you've got it better than, look, not everyone here is from this country, but this is like the richest country in the history of the world. You know that, right? Like, it's like unprecedented, the amount of stuff. So like, what are you complaining about? You're a son of God. You're set up for success here, guys. It may not feel like it, but you are. You're in the best position anyone's been in history, except Adam and Eve before the fall. And even then, they lost spirit, right? You can't lose yours. We saw that with Paul. If anybody was going to lose it, that guy was, right? 2 Corinthians 12. Get out of that race to the bottom, dude. You shouldn't be proud of being weak. Stupid. You know, be yourself. You don't have to pretend that I'm not pretending to be some holy guy, right? You don't have to pretend. Be yourself. But you're a son of God. God called you. And if you're out there being like a weirdo that loves people and helps people, people are going to go, "Oh wow, then I must be able to be a part of that too." Right? Oh, she's not perfect. She's not even close to perfect. Okay, so what's going on with her? Like, what'd she figure out? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. It's an interesting time in Paul's life. He was going through a rough time, and God showed him, like, what paradise is going to be like, okay? God showed him this crazy stuff just to help him, all right? Because he was going through a rough time. And right after this, it says in verse 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations," these incredible things that God showed him, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of" who?
Satan.
"Adversary sent somebody," we don't know who it was, to just needle him. You know, just, you got somebody like that in your life? Ever had somebody like that in your life? They were just there to, you know, and you're like, I'm a son of God, and they're like, no. Right? I can do all things. No. So he had somebody like that. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might, what? And he just, so he did the right thing. He prayed. He asked God, get rid of this guy, right? I'm done with this guy. Get him out of here. And God says this to him, my grace is enough for you. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in what? Perfect, like made perfect. You know, when you read perfect in the Bible, it doesn't mean like flawless, like how we use perfect. It means usually something that's like, it's being used for its fullest end, okay? It's being used in all of its entirety. And God's strength is at its fullest when we recognize that I can't do it on my own, right? This body, this mind, I need God. I need my Holy Spirit. And when that happens, his strength is perfected in us. You know, maybe the stuff that you think you're not good at could be the stuff that you're the best at spiritually because you have to trust God in that area. You know? You think you know yourself so well. I don't know. Don't decide what you can and can't do. Let God show you. There could be a part of you that is just, you just haven't unlocked yet, you know? So Paul says here, look. Most gladly, therefore, I'll glory in infirmities that the power of Christ may, what? Some people used to do this. It's like, instead of calling them problems, they call them opportunities, right? Don't say problems, say opportunity. I'm not telling you to do that. But that line of thinking is good, okay? Because anything that comes up is an opportunity for God to deliver you or to show you something, for something cool to happen, okay? This world's full of problems. We've all got problems. But you can do something about them. You know that, right? That's the thing, is that stuff I was talking about before. You're not a victim. I mean, if you want to be a victim all the time, the adversary will have his way with you, no problem. If that's what you want, you'll have it. But you do not have to be a victim, and you shouldn't want that. Not when Jesus Christ paid for the victory and had the victory. You know, it's like, why did he go in the desert and like not eat for 40 days and whatever? You know, that was like a flex, right? He beat the adversary. He beat death. Nobody can say he wasn't tempted enough, right? Nobody can say he had it easy. But we do. Because of what he did. Go to Ephesians 6. So yeah, I mean, that could be a renewed mind thing. I got problems. Good, I can't wait to see how God handles them. I can't wait to see what God does with this. There's people like that. I want to be more like that. But you can be like that. That's what Paul said. That was his attitude. I don't know. I guess after this thing, it taught him something. Like, if I'm having difficulty, that's just an opportunity for God to do something. Ephesians 6. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in who?
The Lord.
And the power of his might, the strength of his ability. It's okay if you're weak, if you see that I can't do this on my own. Of course you can't. Of course you can't. You're right about that. But it's the Holy Spirit you have. It's that God's on your side, that he won't leave you or forsake you. He's not far away. You know, one of the greatest things I ever heard, was that one of these things a million years ago? You know, when you pray to God, if you think of him as like being way out in space, that's wrong. You know that, right? He's right next to you. He's in you. You should talk to God like he's right next to you. It doesn't take a while for the prayer to travel, right? And then he's going to float down an envelope on a parachute to you with the answer, right? It's like talking to your buddy that's next to you. And you talk to him, and then he says something back to you. Only unlike your buddy, it will always be right. Ephesians 6:10 or 11, put on the whole armor of God. You're strong in the Lord, the power of his might, the strength of his ability, and so we put on the whole armor of God. You believe that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You've got an enemy. The world has an enemy. Mankind has an enemy. And Jesus Christ beat him. All right? But again, we're playing the game here. But you can stand against him with your Holy Spirit. You can't do it by yourself. You can't outthink him. You can't outrun him. But you can absolutely win. We wrestle not, verse 12, against flesh and blood. You know, if it's all about people all the time and what they've done for you lately and what they didn't do and blah, 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 and we heard a lot about this stuff and forgiveness and condemnation and toxic people, right? Then you're missing it. There's something much bigger going on. And we're wrestling against principalities, it says, and powers, and it's the rulers of the darkness of this world, and it's spiritual wickedness from on high. That's why things are hard, guys. That's why it's not easy. But we've got God. And you can put on the whole armor of God, and it says that you can stand. You can stand today. You can do all of this today. Things should change when you're around. You understand that? We don't get shaped by the world. You reshape things as you stand on God's word, as you walk, as you speak. You know, when I walk into a room, a lot of times, devil spirits leave. Do you know why? They know who I am. They know I have Holy Spirit, but they also know that I use it. When you're around, things should change. Don't let them change you. 1 Corinthians 1. First Corinthians, verse 1, verse 25, says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is what?
Stronger.
And that's what you got, baby. And what the worst God has to work with, the worst God has to give you, is better than the best that the world has to offer you. You know, the rot gut, the worst stuff that God's got to work, which, you know, it's a figure of speech. There's nothing bad that God has. But, like, if he had something that was, like, used, it would still be better than anything you could get new here on earth. Don't be afraid of people, man. You know? Don't be afraid of them. They don't know anything that you don't, that you ought to, or but they haven't figured anything out that you haven't figured out. Don't be embarrassed. They're wrong. If it's not the word, they're wrong. That's believing. That's confidence in God. 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4, verse 12. Says, let no man despise thy what?
Youth.
Timothy was a youth. He was a leader, and he was a what? A youth. And despise means look down on. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You've got the same Holy Spirit I've got, that Jesse's got, that Dean's got. You got the same stuff, man. It doesn't matter. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. But be thou an example. And that's a tupos. That's a blow, okay? Like a typewriter. You ever use one of those? I have one of those. Do you know how they work? You smack the key, and it makes an impression on the page. And you are supposed to make an impression on people. You shape things. You don't get shaped. You shape things according to the word of God. Be an example of the believers, of somebody that believes God in word and what you say, in conversation and what you do, in charity and the love of God, in spirit, is not in the text. You can cross it out. In believing and in purity, and that means you're unmixed. All word all the time, man. Right? I don't get down with any of that amphibious stuff. Right? God's word is the most exciting thing in the universe. That's what Dean said. Because you can do it. This isn't just a bunch of ideas, okay? This isn't some book of philosophy. This is life. This is the best stuff going, right? And it's exciting to do. You get to see things that are impossible come to pass because you were involved. Don't you want that? That could happen today. You could heal somebody today. We got healed at these things. I saw miracles at these things. You should expect that. You should see that in your life. You know? When you read God's word, look, when you read this thing, it's not for somebody else. When you read this, when you're in a fellowship, you need to be going like, I can do that. I'm gonna do that. Once he's done talking, right? Once he shuts up, I'm doing that. That should be what you're doing in fellowship. When you read the word, it should be, what am I going to do today? Right? Reading the word in the morning? Okay, what's today looking like? What's God say to do? I'm going to do that today. Once I put the Bible down, I'm doing it. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Jesse went over the 9 manifestations, man. You know? Can you get word of knowledge? Say it really loud. Can you get word of knowledge?
Yes.
Can you get word of wisdom?
Yes.
Can you believe what God's revealed to you by revelation?
Yes.
Can you bring miracles to pass?
Yes.
Say yes. Say yes. You can do miracles. You can heal people. Can you speak in tongues?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Even if you haven't, can you speak in tongues?
Yes.
Yes. It's all here. It's all here already. You can interpret, you can prophesy. You can do it all. You know? And 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at this. I love this. It's like a list of stuff to do. In verse 14, it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Can you do those things?
Yes.
See that none render evil for evil in any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Can you do that?
Yes.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Can you do that?
Yes.
You can do that. You can do all of it. All right? I'm not more important than you. You understand? Dean's not more important than you. You're a son of God. You can do all of it. And you should want to do all of it. John 14. We're almost done here. One of the craziest verses in the Bible, in my opinion. John 14. Verse 12, verily, verily, Jesus Christ talking, truly, truly, listen up. He says, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and what? Greater works than these shall he do. That's absolute tense, because I what? If you believe, you will do greater works than Jesus Christ did. That's what that says. All right? You couldn't be more important. You are the most important a person can be. Believe it. Use it. It's not ego. God said it. You didn't make it up. I didn't make it up. And I ain't lying to you. But you're going to decide whether you're going to do something with it or not. And I can't. There's a certain point where nobody can help you but you. Colossians 2 to close. Doesn't matter how old you are, man. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the Word. Doesn't matter if your parents are believers or if they're frogs. Doesn't matter. You got Holy Spirit now. The Word's true now. Believe it now. Colossians 2, verse 9. I think we looked at this some point earlier. For in him, in Jesus Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's everything that God can do. All the fullness of God was in Jesus Christ, right? He raised the dead. He healed people. He spoke the word. He changed the world, right? All this incredible stuff from God was in him. And you, it's talking about you in verse 10, are what? You're complete in him. And that's that word for, like, if there was a hole, there's no hole anymore. It's filled. It's gone. You're complete in him. You're not lacking anything. There's nothing more that you need to do except believe it, except use it. You're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, right? We saw the principalities and powers in Ephesians 6, right? But he's the head of all principality and power. He's the boss, all right? And when we make him our boss, we walk in the Spirit, you win, and you do incredible things, all right? So that's it.